Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I'm your host, Shabba Baja. And so today I am going to go over game three of the NBA Finals between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. The final score was 120 to 100. The Bucks dominated all game long. You know, there were some a couple times when it looked like the Suns were going to come back into the game and make this a competitive one, but the Bucks just staved them off successfully all game long. So I mean, a lot of things to talk about this game. First off, the Suns started well. You know, DeAndre Ayton was playing well. He had a really dominant first quarter. I mean, early through the second quarter, he already had 16 points. So he was really good. But I mean, the story of the game is Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has been dominant, you know, all playoffs long, all series long. You know, the first game, game one of the NBA Finals, Giannis, you know, he had just come back from a hyperextended knee, so he didn't look quite as dominant. But game two and game three, he has been fantastic. He's scored 40-plus points in both games. I mean, he has just looked unstoppable. So it's really nice to see. Another thing to talk about for the Suns side is Devin Booker. He has definitely had some trouble in these last couple games, and honestly, in the last two series. If everyone remembers, against the LA Clippers, Patrick Beverley, his assignment was Devin Booker, and you know, Patrick Bev was so good. There was a lot of times when Devin Booker couldn't even get a shot up. I mean, literally, Devin Booker would, you know, pull his hand up so that he could get into his shooting motion. And, you know, as he was bringing the ball up over his head, Patrick Beverley would either poke it out of his hands or strip it, or just straight up block it. So he had trouble all series long once Ty Lue put Patrick Beverley on him. And now here with the Bucks, it looks like it's the same thing. For the most part, Chris Middleton has been guarding him, but also Jrue Holiday, which those two guys are really good defenders. Obviously, Jrue Holiday is considered the best defensive guard in the league, and he definitely proves it. And Chris Middleton, a lot of people didn't realize what a good defender he was, but yeah, he's been really good. He stays right up on you. He has quick hands, good reactions, so he can steal the ball. But for the most part, he just stays in front of you and puts a lot of pressure. So a lot of good defensive pressure there by the Bucks on the Suns, which just really gave him trouble. As I stated, Booker, just a really bad game. He only ended the game with 10 points, shooting 3 of 14. So let me just go over the stats real quick. Like I said, the Bucks won 120 to 100. For the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis had 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 14 of 23 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, and he was a plus 20 on the plus minus scale. But yeah, 41 points on 23 shots. That is impressive. Jrue Holiday for the Bucks had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 8 of 14 shooting, and he shot 50% from 3, making 5 threes. Chris Middleton, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 of 14, 3 of 7 from 3. So yeah, Chris Middleton, he still hasn't had that Chris Middleton game. We definitely saw a couple of those in the Hawks series. We've seen a couple of them Or we've seen a good number of them here throughout the playoffs, but we just haven't seen that yet here against the Suns. Another guy that brought a lot of energy for the Bucks was Bobby Portis. He ended the night with 11 points, 8 rebounds, shot 4 of 11 from the field. So, you know, some good help for Giannis. You could argue maybe not enough from his Robin in Chris Middleton, but, you know, he got the job done. And for the most part tonight, Chris Middleton really excelled on the defensive side. So I will give him that. Now on the Suns side, Chris Paul was the one player for the Suns who had the most points. And surprisingly, the most points scored by a Sun in this game was only 19 points by Chris Paul. So he ended the night with 19 points, no rebounds, 9 assists, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, and he had 4 turnovers. Also, DeAndre Ayton had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 11 from the field. As I stated earlier, Devin Booker, he had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 3 for 14 from the field, 1 for 7 from 3. Jay Crowder, if it wasn't for Jay Crowder hitting, you know, big shots, I mean, Jay Crowder ended the night with 18 points, all of those points coming from beyond the arc. He shot 6 for 7 from 3, and those were the only shots he shot just from beyond the arc. So like I stated, you know, if Jay Crowder wasn't in this game hitting these big shots, they might have been blown out by 30 plus. So Jay definitely kept them in it. And then Cam Johnson, he ended the night with 14 points, 5 rebounds, 5-11 from the field. Only made 1 3-pointer out of 5, but Cam Johnson has been a bright light for the Suns. He has really played well. Cam Johnson, a guy who got a lot of criticism in his rookie year, he was not exactly a good player, looked very raw, but he has definitely been contributing for the Suns in a positive manner. It was just, you know, impressive to see the Suns do so well when it came to guarding Devin Booker. You know, obviously he was not a factor in this game tonight with his 10 points. So interesting. And I'm going to go a little bit more into detail with Devin Booker here in a little bit, because there was also some observations that I made about him, late in the game, which, you know, would be concerning if you were a Suns fan. But yeah, the Bucks were dominant pretty much all game, really dominant in the second quarter, which is where they took a 15-point lead in the second quarter, which was the highest lead for the Bucks in the whole series over the Suns. But then obviously after the second quarter, their lead got bigger and bigger. Also, a big part of tonight was DeAndre Ayton. He got into foul trouble early. He had 3 fouls in the first half, which pretty much just carried on throughout the rest of the game, where he was just in foul trouble and he was not able to stay on the floor for long, which was a big part of the win and good strategy by the Bucks. So at the end of the half, the Bucks led 60-45. Chris Middleton was actually really aggressive in the first half. So, you know, even though I said he didn't have a big game, it looked like he was going to have a big game in the first half. He ended the first half with 15 points. So it was kind of weird to see him end with just 18 points. He only scored 3 in the second half. You know, after seeing how aggressive he was in the first, you kind of assumed that that would carry through to the second half, but obviously it did not. Also, at the half, the Bucks were leading in rebounds. They were leading 26-17, so almost double-digit advantage for the Bucks, which is, you know, a big problem for the Suns. You know, now that Dario Saric got injured and tore his ACL, Ayton is pretty much the only big that the Suns have, and the bigs are, or excuse me, and the Suns are not a big team. They're not a tall team at all. You know, they have obviously DeAndre Ayton, and then they have Frank Kaminsky, who was, you know, he didn't contribute at all. You know, he did score a couple points, but, you know, nothing big. He's basically just in there as, you know, just a body that you can put on the floor if you're the Suns, while DeAndre Ayton is out. So it's really interesting, you know, as soon as the Saric injury was announced, you know, that was my biggest concern for the Suns, was the fact that, man, they really have no size now that Saric, and, you know, even Saric, he's not really a big guy either. He's about 6'9", I believe, 6'10", maybe. So, you know, for that to be your, well, second, third tallest guy, that, I mean, second tallest guy when you're talking about, you know, guys that you can actually use on the floor, since Frank Kaminsky isn't exactly a guy that you want to have out on the floor during the NBA Finals. So, yeah. This is going to be a problem for the Suns. I talked about this with Clutch Talk in our episode that we recorded on their podcast. You know, John asked, if I was, he asked me, what should the Suns do regarding DeAndre Ayton? Should they take their chances and see if Frank Kaminsky can produce a little bit for them? Or should they, you know, try smaller lineups, or should they just stick with Ayton and, you know, keep him out on the floor as long as he can? And, you know, I basically said, you know, this is the NBA Finals. So, yeah, my answer was you got to stick with Ayton. You got to have him out there as long as he can. He's young. He's got fresh legs because they've had a lot of rest throughout the playoffs. Even now in the finals, you know, after throughout the whole playoffs, there's been, these players have had to play games every other night. You know, the Suns and the Bucks here in the finals are having two days off between each game. So they're getting rest. So yeah, if I was the Suns, I would definitely stick with DeAndre Ayton out there. You know, after the finals, he's going to have a lot of time to rest throughout the off season. So, you know, he needs to put it all out there on the floor, and he needs to tell Monty Williams too, hey, I mean, I know that you want to give me rest. I know that you're concerned. But, you know, keep me out there. You know, this is the finals. I want to contribute. I want to do everything I can for us to win. So, you know, just leave me out there. I'll worry about rest once the off season comes. But, you know, for now, just keep me out there. That's in my opinion, what he has to do. The Bucks outscored the Suns 34-5 on uncontested field goals in the first half. And the Bucks also had twice as many assists in the first half, 18-9. So yeah, the Bucks had 18 assists and 9 in the first half. So like I said, the Bucks just look dominant. They looked focused. They looked confident as soon as the game started. You know, they just looked like they were on a mission. They knew that, you know, they could not risk losing this game. They could not afford to go down 3-0 because, you know, as we all know, teams that go down 3-0 in the finals, it is not usually not a good outcome. So. But yeah, and like I said, Monty Williams, he had a interesting lineup out there for the Suns. You know, like I said, DeAndre Ayton was, he had foul troubles. So in the third quarter, DeAndre Ayton was not in. So he had to go with a small lineup to see if that would, you know, that would work against the Bucks. That was pretty much his only option. It's not like he was experimenting. He had to experiment. But yeah, Cam Johnson at one point was the tallest guy on the floor for the Suns. So yeah, they went really small. That did not work. As I've reiterated before about the Bucks, they are just a big team. You know, they got Giannis, they got Brook, they got Bobby Portis. Even their guards are, you know, tall guards. So yeah, that did not work. Another thing, Giannis has he looked good at the free throw line. He shot 13 for 17. So he looked really good at the free throw line. And this is something that I also said in my previous podcast, is that Giannis looks a lot better. And, you know, the stats are there. They're there to support that Giannis plays, or excuse me, not plays, he shoots better at the free throw line when he's at home. And, you know, it's not hard to figure out. When he's at home, he doesn't have a whole crowd of 18,000 people counting down while he's, you know, taking a free throw. So, you know, he doesn't feel rushed. You know, he feels the support of the fans. He can do his normal routine. So yeah, he's just been shooting a lot better, free throw wise. So that's always good to see if you're a Bucks fan. And the Bucks, they were up by about 24 points at one point. And the Suns, they cut the lead down to 6 halfway in the third quarter. But like I said before, the Bucks, they staved off every run that the Suns made, and they were able to retain their leads, and, you know, they just kept it through to the end of the game. So that was good to see the Bucks stay confident. And like I said, they just looked like they were on a team on a mission. No one was going to stop them from getting this W, is what it looked like. You know, also Jrue Holiday, he had some big three-pointers in the third quarter. That is something that also helped the Bucks keep their lead when the Suns were trying to make these runs. Because there were times when the Bucks were having, you know, little mini scoring droughts, and that's when the Suns were able to come back. And try and cut the lead. But obviously, like I stated, they were not able to. Bobby Portis, he was a guy that was only averaging 3.5 points in this series. I know it's only 2 games, but 3.5 points, that kind of tells you something. And, you know, game 3, he ended with 11 points. So he was his normal Bobby Portis versus the Hawks self. If you remember when Giannis came out because of injury, Bobby Portis really had to step in and play, and he really stepped up, and, you know, he gave some good scoring. You know, you weren't going to expect 20, 30 points from him, but he'd give you a good, you know, 10 to 16, 18 points, which obviously he did not have 18 points tonight. He had 11. But, you know, that's all you can ask from him. He brought rebounding, he brought hustle, he brought heart, grit. So, you know, that's what he's there for, and that's what he contributed. But yeah, I mean, Devin Booker, man, that shooting was atrocious. It was so bad at one point. Monty Williams, in the second half, he benched Devin Booker, and then we didn't see him at all in the fourth quarter, which was really kind of odd to see, you know, because he was benched in the third quarter, and you were expecting, okay, well, we'll see him again in the fourth. They'll try and, you know, see if they can make a comeback, or, you know, at least try. And yeah, we just never saw Devin Booker come back in the game, which is, it's had some people talking. You know, they don't know if, you know, if it was just Monty Williams saying, you know what, tonight just wasn't your game. You know, we're going to rest you the rest of this game so that you can be even fresher next game. Then you had other people saying that, you know, this is Monty Williams kind of punishing Devin Booker for not playing well, so he didn't reward him with more minutes. And then you have other people saying that they think that Devin Booker might be injured. You know, I was hearing from Bill Simmons and Skip Bayless. They were saying that they think that he might be injured because it really doesn't make sense that he didn't come in the fourth, which I have to admit, it is odd. You know, you would expect the Suns to put in their best player At least their best score, you know, to try and make a comeback, especially since they took him out in the third quarter and they didn't put him in at all in the fourth. So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. You know, I'm definitely going to keep my ears and eyes peeled and see what's going on there. So far, I haven't heard anything about injuries or anything like that. So I'm just thinking it was Monty Williams saying, you know what, we're going to rest you the rest of this game so you can be fresh for next game. But, you know, if you're a basketball fan, you know that shooting is something that it's very fluid. And, you know, I think it would have been better if Monty Williams would have put Devin Booker out there so that he can get some shots up. Maybe Devin Booker can see some shots go in the basket. Because shoot is shoot. And, you know, one thing that's always going to help shooters get better and shoot better is if they see their shots go in the basket. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Maybe, you know, Devin Booker, we all knew at that point he was going to have he wasn't going to have a efficient night. He wasn't going to have a big scoring night. But maybe if he would have stayed out there and, like I said, taken some shots and seen some go in the basket, maybe it could have helped his confidence. And, you know, he could go into game four with a lot more confidence. But that's just me. Yeah, DeAndre Ayton almost had no minutes in the third quarter, like I stated, because of his foul trouble. I think that that was a really good thing for the Bucks, and I think it's something that they need to exploit. Like I stated, Ayton is pretty much the only big that the Suns have. So he's the only guy there between the Bucks and them making a basket. So, you know, like I said, I think that the Bucks really need to exploit DeAndre Ayton, and they really need to attack him and try and get him into foul trouble. You know, if they can get Ayton into foul trouble as much as they can in as many games as they can, it's going to look favorable that they can get the win, because like I said, Ayton's the only shot blocker there for the Suns. And not only that, Ayton also gets a lot of rebounds, not just defensive, but offensive rebounds. So it can, it can get the Bucks second chance points and second chance opportunities, because they can run and get in and try and get some offensive rebounds since Ayton won't be in the game. But it can also stop the Suns from getting second chance points, because as we've seen all playoffs long, DeAndre Ayton has been absolutely fantastic at rebounding. He's been great at offensive rebounding. So, you know, if the Bucks can prevent DeAndre Ayton from being in the game, that means that it'll stop the Suns from getting their, you know, second chance, third chance opportunities, which will bring obviously the Suns scoring down. And the Bucks need to score as much as they can if they want to beat the Suns team. So yeah, this is going to be a big problem for the Suns. You know, I stated way earlier at the beginning of the playoffs when people were talking about the Suns, I said they don't have any size. You know, I said this earlier in the playoffs because, you know, you didn't know if they were going to have to match up against, well, we know that they were going to match up against the Lakers first round, which right there I said, do they have enough size for the Lakers? You know, because the Lakers had Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol, Montrezl Harrell. They had all these guys. And then, you know, second round, he had to go up against Jokic. The Clippers, he had to go up against Zubats. And you didn't know if maybe they were going to have to go up against the Jazz if they had beaten the Clippers. You didn't know if they were going to have to go up against Gobert, Favors, all those guys. So, yeah, from the very beginning, I said the Suns don't have a lot of size, and this might hurt them in the playoffs, which we didn't see hurt them at all during the playoffs. Also because, you know, like I've said before, they've been blessed with luck when it comes to their opponents because all their opponents have been injured. But here in this series, man, the size thing is really, really, really going to hurt the Suns. So that's something to keep an eye out on. And yeah, because of his foul trouble, Ayton was only able to play 24 minutes. So, you know, the Bucks really need to take advantage of this opportunity. Really, really, really do. You know, after tonight's 41-point, 13-rebounds, 6-assists game for Giannis, players now with a 40-10-5 game since 2000. Shaq did it twice. LeBron did it 5 times. And then you have Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, and now Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has just been so great these playoffs. The Bucks are now 8-1 at home in the playoffs, so definitely dominant at home. And also one other thing to show you here, Giannis all game long, he had 17 free throws. The Suns combined had 16. So Giannis alone had more free throws than the whole Suns team in that game. And that is something that brought a little controversy by Chris Paul. As we know, he likes to complain. As we know, he has this narrative that he likes to push, against the official Scott Foster. Chris Paul has always felt like Scott Foster has had it out for him, that Scott Foster favors the other teams rather than the teams that Chris Paul is on, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to make any sense of that, if you want to believe Chris Paul and his conspiracy, after tonight, Chris Paul's teams are now 1-12 in the last 13 playoff games that are officiated by this referee, Scott Foster. And also one interesting thing to throw out there as well, Chris Paul did not play in that one win in that 1-12 record. Just a little something there to fuel the fire for Chris Paul and his theory. I don't believe it for 1 second. If anything, I think the Suns have been favored when it comes to fouls and when it comes to being favored by the refs all playoffs long. So, you know, even if it was true, I don't feel bad. You know, they've had an easy ride all playoff long, you know, deal with it. The Suns and Bucks matchup score in this entire series now. The Suns have now scored 589 points against the Bucks in this series. The Bucks have scored 584. So the total score right now is Suns 589 to the Bucks 584. Just something fun I thought I'd throw out there for you. Now, Giannis has been so great. Giannis, it's been 1 week since he got injured, since he hyperextended that leg, and since when Giannis went down with that hyperextension, I think the whole country went quiet. And by that, I mean, I think the whole country stopped. They had their mouths open. They were on the edges of their seat when they saw Giannis get injured. You know, fearing the worst, that he wouldn't be able to play the rest of the playoffs and maybe miss next season with an ACL tear or something like that. But no, after one week of hyperextending his knee, Giannis has been absolutely fantastic. In this week, since hyperextending his knee, he is averaging 34.3 points, 14 rebounds, 4.7 assists, 1.3 steals, and 1.3 blocks. And that is on 62.5% shooting from the field, 66% shooting from the line, and 15.7 free throw attempts. So it also shows that he's being aggressive. So yeah, Giannis is just a freak of nature. That's why they call him the Greek freak. He is just so, so great. So let's talk a little bit more about Giannis. I just want to give him a little bit of praise, but first let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, so now that we're back from break, like I said, I just wanted to give Giannis a quick little segment of giving him a little bit of praise and respect, because he really has been out of this world, especially here in this in these last two games. So in this game, Giannis ended with 24 points in the restricted area. That is tied for the most points in an NBA Finals game over the last 25 years. LeBron did that in 2017. Shaq did it in 2004. Also, tonight, Giannis had only one turnover. Now, that one turnover represents the fewest turnovers by a player with a 40, 10, and 5 game in an NBA Finals. And that is the fewest recorded ever since turnovers were first tracked back in 1977, 1978. So that's quite fantastic. That is just dominant. And also Giannis, he scored 103 points in the first three games of these NBA Finals. That is the fourth most points by a player in his first three career NBA Finals games. So that he has just been out of this world. He has been so good. And it's even more mind-blowing when you remember, oh man, he's coming back from injury. We don't even know if he's at 100%. So I mean, it just awesome. Such a good player. I'm so glad that everyone is finally seeing Giannis for who he is. I've always been a great Giannis supporter. I've always loved his game. I've always loved his heart. I've always loved his story. The fact that, you know, he was, you know, begging on the streets of Greece, and now he's one of the most dominant players in the NBA. I mean, just such a good feel story. So just such a nice feel good story. So, you know, I don't know how anyone could hate on Giannis. But anyway, back to the game. But yeah, a big thing for the Bucks, something I didn't mention was their defense. They were really good defensively, obviously. They did a great job on Booker. They did a good job on Chris Paul. They made him, you know, commit four turnovers. That's obviously not something that you're used to seeing in Chris Paul, the point god. You know, so, you know, usually never, well, not never, but usually you don't see him have four turnovers in a game. So, yeah, they've been really good, and the main thing is that they've really been putting pressure on the Suns. You know, as soon as a player gets the ball in the Suns, you know, there's always someone on the Bucks right there in their face. You know, they make the Suns make difficult passes. They clog the lanes. I mean, their defense has been really good, and especially tonight it was really good. And you can see it. This type of defensive pressure is making guys on the Suns uncomfortable. And a guy that you could really tell it made uncomfortable was Mikal Bridges, because he, after having a 27-point game in the last in game two, tonight he only had 4 points and four turnovers for Mikal Bridges. So, you know, that this defensive pressure is really good for the Bucks and really bad for the Suns. And another thing too, I mean, we were just talking about the defense. Drew Holiday, he has been awesome. He was awesome defensively here in game three. His defense wasn't exactly at the level that you know he can play at in the previous games, but this game he was awesome. You know, just really affecting Chris Paul, really affecting campaign. You know, after everyone, you know, kissing campaign's butt against the Clippers, campaign has been nowhere to be found here against the Bucks, man. He has been nowhere. He has been atrocious. Which is also something bad for the Suns, because, you know, Chris Paul's old, so you want to get him some rest. And those minutes that Chris Paul has to sit on the bench and get his rest, and campaign has to step in and, you know, try and play Chris Paul's role, it is not working out. So Jrue Holiday in this game, he really stepped it up, and he was just on another level defensively, and he was just proving to me, to the Bucks, to the Suns, to the NBA, to the whole world, he was proving why he is the best defensive guard in the league. He just is. And, you know, whenever you see him play like game three here, there's no debate. So, yeah, he was just awesome. And also, I know I was just giving Giannis a lot of praise. Man, the impressive part, like I said, is that he's coming back from injury, and you don't even know if he's at 100%. He's scoring, you know, 40-plus points in the last two games. Another thing that, you know, no one really talks about, he has been awesome on defense. You know, the Suns like to switch when they're on offense, so they like to get, you know, mismatches. Whenever Giannis has to be that guy on the switch, he has been awesome. He can stay in front of guys like Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and he can also stay in front of guys like DeAndre Ayton. So he is just great. He's such an awesome two-way player. You know, you could argue he's the best two-way player in the league between him and Kawhi. You know, when you're comparing, you know, a great offensive player who can get you so many points, and then he can turn around and be the best defender on your team. So, although game three, I will give the best defender of the Bucks, I will give that praise to Jrue Holiday in this game because he was great. So, you know, when the Bucks play like this, they are scary. And I've been saying it, you know, the Bucks when they play to their full potential, like game three, they can win this thing. But they have to play to their full potential. They cannot take games off. They cannot, you know, everyone needs to contribute. And when they do that, they are scary. They deserve to be here in the finals. And, you know, if they can play to their full potential the rest of the series, I can see them winning this. Actually, no. Scratch that. If they play to their full potential the rest of the series, they will win the NBA championship. They just will. So, you know, and that's why I get so disappointed, and that's why I get so hard on these guys, on the Bucks, because I know how good they can be. I do. And, you know, so that's when I get so frustrated, when I have to talk about Mike Budenholzer and his coaching, or when I have to talk about Chris Middleton not showing up, or when I have to talk about Jrue Holiday not showing up. You know, one thing I never have to talk about is Giannis not showing up. He will always show up. He is an automatic 30 points, 10 rebounds for the Bucks. But it does come down to, well, the other guys show up, and they showed up in game three, and I really hope that they show up for the rest of the series, because like I said, if they do, they're winning the championship. No ifs, ands, buts. So hopefully they stick with it. So, but anyways, so now Giannis, this is incredible too. This is Giannis' first NBA Finals. And Giannis, after three games in the NBA Finals, Giannis now has more 40-point games than Kevin Durant, than Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain. That is incredible. Giannis Antetokounmpo has more 40-point games than in the finals than Chamberlain, Kareem, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Durant, Curry, and those guys have been to multiple NBA finals. So that is just fantastic. Also, Giannis is on pace to be the first player in NBA history to average 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block on 55% shooting in a single playoff run. And that's a minimum of 15 games. Now, when I say 20, 25, 10, 5, 1, 1, I mean that he has to score at least. So, Giannis is on pace to be the first player in NBA history to average at least 25 points, at least 10 rebounds, at least 5 assists, at least 1 steal, and at least 1 block on 55% shooting in a single playoffs run. I hope that clarified it more. And also, right now, Giannis, he is currently averaging 29 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block on 56% shooting. So he has just been so great. Also, I talked about Chris Paul and how he's the point god. And he's notorious for not turning over the ball. Just to bring up how good the Bucks defense has been in the last two games, particularly how good Jrue Holiday has been. In the last two games, Chris Paul has recorded 10 turnovers. Before that, it took him 5 games to record 10 turnovers. So that's how good Jrue Holiday has been. And in those last two games, CP3, Chris Paul, has been guarded by Jrue Holiday. So yeah, Jrue Holiday, has been fantastic. Another thing, just to support what I've been saying, the Bucks are so big, they have so much size, and the Suns have no one except for DeAndre Ayton. And just to show you, in this series, the Bucks have had 40 offensive rebounds. The Suns have only had 23. So they're just getting killed. So, like I said, the Suns might be in trouble here. You know, if Giannis can keep playing at this level, if the Bucks can keep defending at this level, if the Bucks can make it a point to make it their strategy to attack DeAndre Ayton and try and get him in foul trouble, if they can make it a point to defend, annoy, and smother Devin Booker defensively, the Bucks might have something here. If they stick to this game plan, I think that they found something out. I think that they figured it out. So yeah, I mean, it's if you're a Suns fan, you should be nervous. But okay. So I think that's it. So yeah. So that was game 3. Game 4 will be Wednesday. I will be recording Wednesday night. So the next episode of this podcast will come up on Thursday. Yeah. So by Thursday, you will be able to listen to the podcast that I will record. Okay, guys, so I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you. Okay, so that's it. So, guys, so that's pretty much it. I will speak to you guys again on Thursday. Again, thank you so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja. And please, like always, please, you know, find us on Twitter. Our at is at the Big Shot Pod. Again, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, any topics that you want me to bring up, just send me a message, mention us, tweet at us, whatever you got to do to get our attention. If you have any questions and you want us to address them, please hit us up on Twitter. We'll be glad to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a fun series. If the Bucks can stay this competitive, it's going to be really, really fun. And I just have a lot of questions going into the next game to see, you know, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, what's going to happen with Devin Booker. Hopefully, you know, hopefully he didn't get injured. You know, I've been vocal about how I think it's been unfair that the Suns have made it to the finals, considering that every team that they've played has been really injured. And if those teams would have been healthy, I think that each of those teams would have beat the Suns. But obviously, I don't want to see guys get injured. So I'll keep an eye out, see if Devin Booker is injured or if Monty Williams just decided to sit him. But it'll be interesting to see. Will Chris Middleton finally have a big game? That's also another thing. You know, the Bucks still haven't had a Chris Middleton game, so I think that that's a good sign. So yeah, just a lot of questions, but we will see, and I will address them on Thursday. Well, Wednesday night, but you guys will listen to it on Thursday. I will have the podcast up on Thursday. But all right, guys. Once again, this is the Big Shot Pod. Thank you. Okay, so that's it, guys. So again, I'm your host, Chaba Baja. Thank you so much for listening. It was a lot of fun. I will talk to you guys again on Thursday. A lot of fun. Please hit us up on Twitter. Our at is at the Big Shot Pod on Twitter. And that's pretty much it. So thank you again for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, guys. We'll be right back.